Welcome back to another episode of Upstate Empire Fitness Radio. My name is Brian Devins, owner of Upstate Empire Fitness, and I'm here with two of our amazing employees here at the gym. I couldn't be happier to be on podcast here. We got a debuting personal trainer here at the gym, Sam Schultz. Welcome, Sam.
Hey.
You guys might know Sam from the social media pages. Probably the most energetic person I've ever come into contact with. And, of course, we have Kevin Conley.
Less energetic, but
great energy.
I'm learning from her. What can I say?
She level rubs 9,000.
I didn't even need coffee this morning. Sam showed up. I'm like, yo, what's up, Sam? Let's do this. Let's change some legs. I want massive thighs. I love that one. I got so jacked up when I saw that.
Meaty quads.
Yeah. So Sam's been with us for a few months now. I couldn't be happier to have you, and I know your clients are really excited to be working with you, and you do some of the boot camps for us and stuff, but and you've been in fitness for quite some time, right, Sam?
Yes, I have been in fitness for almost 16 years now. I was a collegiate athlete, and I was in the Army, and I've just absolutely loved strength training ever since I touched a barbell in high school.
Yeah. I think this is cool too to have Sam on this, and I think your perspective on this, and especially having, you know, being a veteran and everything, which is, you know, obviously thank you for your service. I can't say it more.
Thank you.
Enough, but this is going to be a cool podcast. We're actually talking about training stimulus, and not just in context of rep ranges and intensity values and how, where you should be as far as weight selection, but what motivates you. And how are you motivated more specifically? So I think having the Army background, I think obviously we all know, we've seen videos of like boot camp and people screaming and yelling at you. But also you need to have some other types of motivating factors to kind of push you through. I'm sure you've experienced a lot of things in your time, Sam. So I'm really excited to hear your perspective on things and how you use your experiences with your own clients. So it's going to be an exciting podcast here. That being said, Kev, you like this topic. We talked about this.
Love it.
Yeah. So we're going to talk about a couple different things. We're going to go, like I said, we're going to talk about the intrinsic and extrinsic factors of loads or of motivation and how we can get training stimulus out of that. You know, that could be anywhere. We could. It's such a huge, those are two huge factors when it comes to training stimulus.
For sure. And I think that the important thing is that this, before we go any further, like some of the things that we're going to talk about are going to work for some people, and some of the things that we, you know, we may agree with or disagree with. Some people might love to get angry before a set and or whatnot, or like listen to XYZ music or whatever, or do whatever they want to do. These are definitely not set in stone. I guess, like, you know, for me personally, like with external training stimulus and external like motivators, I kind of go against the grain with some of the typical stuff that you might see on social media with like, oh, you got to get angry, you know, like, and they're turning into a Hulk and like, you know, the gym is a battlefield and like, yeah, all right. Yeah.
Well, so. I'll be honest with you. Like, so I see a lot of it and I guess I could use this for myself too, is when I first started was, I did start out that way. And there was this evolution of, how I got myself motivated or to get the proper stimulus.
I was going to say, why did you start? Like, what was it?
Why did I start working out?
Yeah.
Like when I was like 14.
Yeah. Come on. It's going to be the same for every, mostly.
Yeah. All right. Well, okay.
Every 14 year old male.
So I come from great parents who raised me right. Okay. However, genetically, I was very much a wiry kid. I was always tall, lanky,
like that,
and lighter.
Guy from the
and places. I had a crush who said that I was scrawny.
Oh, what
a and great from that motivator. Day on, I trained 5 days a week.
Yeah, what a great motivator. That was that has set this tone. Yeah.
That's part about that. I'm not even bragging about it, but like, I started getting attention after about a year.
So it worked.
And I told her absolutely not.
You were like,
no, thank you.
Hey.
So you're a little too scrawny for me.
Oh, right back in. Sam, like, what do you, like, what was it? You said that you fell in love with a barbell the minute you touched it. What was it that brought you there?
Dude, I can specifically remember being a sophomore in high school and the first female to join general weight training at my high school. And all these dudes,
awesome.
They're just like, why are you here? Like, I was a wrestler. I did Muay Thai. Like, I was always trying to do things that other girls weren't. I just wanted to be this badass chick, right? And fortunately, I I definitely have an easier time when it comes to building muscle. I've always been pretty muscular, but when I first joined that class, I just wanted to be like She-Hulk. I just wanted to be so strong. I wanted to be this badass chick. And then when I started doing track and field, and I was like, I'm the shortest person out here, but I'm throwing the furthest. And then I was the first person to get a track scholarship. And nice. Then I got to go to Wingate University in North Carolina. Woop, woop, Bulldogs.
The Wingate but, test.
Yes.
I'm pretty sure that's where they created the Wingate test.
Maybe. Have you really?
One of those? Yeah. Well, that's where they develop all the hit research from, right? You sprint, you drop the weight down, they sprint until failure.
The Wingate was on a bike.
On a Wingate bike.
And let me tell you, I've done countless VO2 max tests with Bruce Protocol on the treadmill. I would rather do 1,000 more of those than do another Wingate. It was the worst. So if that's where you're from,
I don't personally know.
I have some. I have a letter that I written. Like, so, but yeah, that's cool. That's really. It sounds like that was very like internally. Like you really found like the benefit of training, and not only that, but you were just like, I want to be a badass.
Yeah,
so.
I always had like. Unfortunately, I always had a lot of people that picked on me because I wasn't from. Mm-hmm. There, like I wasn't born in North Carolina,
gotcha.
So I always had issues with that. So exercise and sports were just always something I was super good at, and I was like, "Well,
get so strong,
you guys!
Yeah, I'm gonna get strong." It's like building your own armor,
exactly.
You know? And it's like you build your own confidence through weight training. And I think I found very similar to your situation. Is that was a very minor comment? Like I always played sports, and when I started getting into it, it became less about. To be frank, I don't give a shit what anyone thought about me.
Yeah.
I don't care about me. And then it got to the point where now I start seeing that carryover from weight training into athletics.
Definitely.
Which was big because I started at the age of 14 and then getting into my high school years. And then when I was a senior, I was, 6'1". I weighed 195 pounds. I was lean. I was fast. And I was stronger than a lot of athletes in that grade, So... And it was great. And especially even when I was 16, playing the younger sports, I played up and I was able to, not get pushed over basketball, football, whatever, So it was cool. It was motivating. And you knew that it was the work you were putting in the gym.
Absolutely.
That carried over into that sport. So.
Yeah. And I actually have a few clients that are a little bit younger that are starting to see that now. And it's really fun to see because I think that's one of the best motivators, especially for athletes is it's not that aesthetic kind of thing. But aesthetic goals are fine too. But I mean, if it can carry over into sports performance, I mean, that's great. Like I have one client now, she's an animal. I mean, I'm excited to see her high school career. And I completely think that she's going to go
D1.
Yeah. That's awesome.
She's strong and She sees the crossover. And that's what motivates her. And she doesn't have any problem pushing herself. And it's like, so cool to see.
I love that.
Yeah, no, it's motivating, man. And I love every aspect of it. And watching someone grow in that manner. And then knowing okay, I did that too. And there's so much more help and research and information out there now.
Oh my gosh,
And especially, so when you're saying, when you walked into the barbell club or whatever you're training at, it was weird to see a female kind of walking. Like, what are you doing?
And then, like, who are you?
Yeah. And also, it's almost bitch. Like... Yeah, what is she doing here?
This bitch.
Hey, what's up? How you doing? I love that, and it's almost a routine now. So you come into our gym and you see there's a ton of females, and they're not just over there on the cables and they're throwing heavy weight around.
Yeah. I love that.
Properly, safely, and it's impressive to see some of these people out here. Lifting pound for pound, just strong individuals, and it's really cool to watch,
For sure, yeah, and it sounds like we've all gotten into it pretty young.
You got to tell us why you got into it.
Me?
Yes.
I was not a confident kid. I didn't play sports. I mean, I was on the Thomas R. Proctor golf team, and we were not good.
Great sport.
It is a great sport. Now
great
I use
sport
an excuse.
As an adult.
Yeah, I use an excuse to go drink beer. I didn't need an excuse really to do that. I wasn't really an athlete. I actually described myself as kind of like a frumpy kid. Like, I didn't really have, like, I had, like, a good frame. Like, I had, Conley's have good shoulders. But, like, I wasn't fat, but I wasn't, like, skinny either. I was, like, this in, I wasn't even chunky. No, I was, it was
it,
weird.
In 2023, you call it thick.
Yeah, I don't even know if
two
I was,
C's, two
yeah,
C's.
I don't even know if I was, yeah, I was definitely not triple C thick. But, so, yeah, I don't know. I was just, I kind of looked at myself one day and I looked at myself in the mirror. And I'm like, I don't want to look like this. It, mine was very aesthetic based.
Yeah.
Hence why I'm a bodybuilder. I was 155 pounds, 12 and a half inch arms. I remember it. I remember it yesterday. And from that day on, I was like, you know what? I'm going to work my ass off to get to a point where, it, not to say that I'm not happy with where I'm at, but like definitely a physique that I enjoy.
Yeah.
And that, and you know what? That's okay. I'm cool
it's,
with that.
It's challenging too, because when you get down the, when you start traveling the avenue of, aesthetic type sports, physique competitions, there's really no, there's an end goal. Everyone has an end goal, but we tend to ignore it.
Oh yeah.
Because you're never, you might be satisfied, but you're never completely content with where you're at. You're always looking for a little bit more. Even, okay, so you're 10 plus years training, like, okay, if I can add a pound of muscle this year, okay, I'm doing good. And
for
that's,
sure.
And that's a fantastic thing to be, you know, obviously, you know, it's just a hard, it's a hard road. It's an emotionally challenging road.
Yeah.
Especially when you have these things. Like I noticed when I focus solely on certain areas, like everyone starts out when you're young, I have no training guidance at all at that point. I want bigger arms. I'm going to do curls every day. You know, and it's just, and it's, people do that now in their later years. And it's like, okay, girls want bigger glutes. I'm training glutes every single day. I want to lose weight. I'm going to do cardio every single day. Not the best approach. But I did that. But when I started focusing more on the numbers that I was lifting and how much I was lifting, started looking at, okay, now I started to understand volume. I'm starting to understand intensity, what weight, you know, loads I need to use. That is when I made the best gains, because I stopped looking at the mirror and I started looking at the notebook, because we are constantly looking at the mirror and then not taking photos, not
sure.
looking at month by month comparisons. We see each other ourselves all the time. We see ourselves all the time, and we're our own worst critics. But once I started looking at the numbers, me as a more of an analytical person, that was huge for me. Mm-hmm. That's what really switched. And I would talk about the evolution of my motivation factors. It became, okay, what can my body do? Yeah. And then a secondary result was, huh, I'm starting to grow some muscle.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
You know, I started to get a little thicker. I'm starting to wear, oh, wow. I remember the first day I had to buy extra large shirts.
Yeah.
And I was like, oh, shoot. I was a schmedium most of my life. This real skinny schmedium, extra large. And now I'm wearing a 2X and I feel good.
I went from baby gap to gap. That's great.
It's it, dude. You know,
and never had those issues.
It was it's a really interesting thing. And on top of that, you had the numbers to back it up. It wasn't just what, you know, weren't lifting peanuts.
I like what you said about the evolution, because like it kind of hit something with me. I went from, you know, very aesthetic. And I still, that is kind of a secondary thing for me right now. Kind of like you said. I went from aesthetic to numbers. Because, like, I didn't deadlift until I was 27. I mean, until after my show. Like, I didn't conventional. I had a lot of, like, hip issues, like, as, like, an early adult. I had sciatica at 21. It sucks. So that also kind of, like, pushed me away from deadlift. Now I would say, no, deadlift. Right? Right. But, so I was very numbers. So, like, I started to see, like, after my show, like, I'm eating a lot more and, like, this and that. And, like, so my numbers are going up. Now I'm actually, like, at a very good spot of feel. I mean, I've done the 6 days a week, push yourself to the max, this and that, and I felt like shit. Now it's like, okay, how do I feel throughout the days? I mean, I'm in a very good consistent base with Adam.
Hubby.
Yeah, Sam's husband. So like we're in a great consistent base, and like that's really where I'm at with like my training. And the thing is, like with art, like I haven't had a training partner in a long time that can go pound for pound with me. Like we're fairly close.
Yeah.
And that makes such the difference.
Yeah. It's huge. I remember training with my friend, John. We trained together.
Johnny guy.
John, I hope he's guy. Listening to this, because I'll tell you what, I made great gains with him and he did as well. We both fed off each other. Like, and okay, you're going to put another weight plate on. We're going to do another set. John's John was always good for another set.
For sure.
It's our last set, six sets later.
You know? Did you guys, like, I guess to reroute to our, like, some of our topics, like, did you guys train angry?
So let's go into, before we get into that, because I will I will speak on that, and I will also speak on how I use anger, like, today if I'm feeling angry.
Sure.
Right? So let's talk about intrinsic versus extrinsic and define those first, right, before our listeners have never heard those terms. Okay. As personal trainers, those are that's information we like to know about, and that's how we get you to, you know, we can motivate you in different ways. That's a psychological factor of that.
For sure.
Once you figure that out with your client, it makes things a little bit easier for us to kind of determine how we're going to get you to do something or get you to your end goal. So intrinsically motivated people, it's in the word, it's internal.
Yeah.
Okay. I'm doing this for me, whether it be I'm concerned with my health. I want to make sure I live a longer life. I don't want to be, keeping healthy because I need to take a bunch of pills. It could be something that's just numbers. Like, I know that if I hit these numbers, I'm going to feel so proud of myself. It's a very internal motivating factor, where we have the external motivating or extrinsic motivational factors of, I want my crush to see me. I want to grow my Instagram and get a bunch of, I'll grow my clout. You know, yeah. I want to, and that's not a bad thing. And people will look at it as like, well, you know, you're a narcissist for that. Well, you know what? Some people have some narcissistic qualities. I can tell you right now, I post lifts on social media because I'm proud of myself for it, but also, like, I want to show people. And as a secondary thing, hey, listen, I'm a personal trainer. I'm going to showcase things that I'm doing. Okay. Sure. This is just who I am. So we do that. And sometimes, hey, listen, you need a confidence boost and you get it from an external source, so be it. You want to post a selfie of a picture you're lifting because it's cool. Like, yeah, you know what? You're feeling good about yourself too. I will never bash or hate on anyone that ever does that. There's been times in my life like, oh, that's kind of odd. But then kind of seeing it full circle is like, okay, you know what? That person might just need a little bit of a boost. And maybe that's what keeps them going to the gym. And hopefully out of the 170,000 people that like their picture or whatever it might be, maybe a couple of them are motivated to go to the gym too.
If one person.
Yeah.
Takes one person.
If one person goes to the gym from that, that's a win.
Yeah.
You can see, you know, I've seen posts that are cringy and this and that, but like, that's my opinion.
Yeah.
And that's not my opinion about every post that I see, but like, kind of like what you said, I actually have come back to it and say, like, you know what? That's what does it. Great.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So I will say, so going back on, okay, lifting when you're angry, right? I think we've all been there. We've all either used that as a just driving force or have just been angry and coincidence has it, I'm going to the gym today. I'm going to lift a little more because I want to take it out. I'm going to get that feedback or that response from a barbell or whatever it may be. I could say that when I was 14, once I started getting into lifting, I felt more comfortable with compound lifts. I used to think about something that got me pissed off enough to go into a set to lift weight. I like to call it maturity, just training maturity. That got me to a point where I am going here. I know what my body's capable of, and I'm going to walk in here like it's another day in the office. Yeah. I don't need to make a scene or a ruckus and slam belts. Because listen, when I was younger, Ronnie Coleman was around. He was yelling and screaming, hooting, hollering before he got out of set. And listen, I'm not 280 pounds shredded. Okay. I don't need to make a scene. Ronnie Coleman walks in the scene, you know, made a scene when he went to the gym, and he also was, but it was motivating too. It was like, oh, sure, that looks so cool. And we see it around here too. And if that's what gets you jacked up to go do your set, so be it. Me personally, I don't feel like I need to make a scene. I tend to make a scene after I do a big lift, but that's just pure energy.
Yeah.
I black out for a moment and then I watch my video. I'm like, oh, I said that? I did that?
Oops.
Yeah. I might have had a little F yes after I squatted 700 pounds. I was screaming at the top of my lungs. I was just so overwhelmed with that's just joy, you know, and it came out like
such
that.
Such a great feeling.
Yeah. You know, and it made it look like I was angry, but that was me happy.
Dude, you do that for other people too. Like, I remember one of my favorite videos is one of my max videos on deadlift. You just like, after I finally get it, because I couldn't hit 500 for the longest time. I'd pick it up and you'd be like, why did you drop it? I think you threatened to fire me one time. You were like, if you don't pick this up, I'm going to fire you. And I was like, okay, well, there's some motivation. But I got it, and you were just, like, so hyped up, and, like, it's an energy thing for sure.
Yeah, it's an energy thing. I see, and it's and we could say, oh, it's a number, you know. No, it's seeing someone accomplish something. It just gets you so motivated, because I remember watching it. I got to watch that whole journey of Kevin going to pull 500, and when he did it, it was like, let's put 550 on the bar. Like, yeah, a little bit more.
Yeah,
but
oh, yeah.
It was just, it was good. And I get like that. I have no problem, you know, making noise. And when I watch someone squat heavy, I get jacked up. But other people, a little more quiet. But sure. Again, lifting when I'm angry, you're using that today. I can tell you right now, going through what I have over the last year, I've used that as a positive more now. If I'm feeling a certain way, like, okay, I become more focused. I'm going to take it out on here, because that's me getting a feedback response from just training. And then afterwards, if I go 3 or 4 days without lifting, now I'm miserable.
Yeah.
I'm miserable. And then I it's just very much a therapeutic experience for me now to go to the gym and train.
Wait a minute. You mean to tell me that lifting weights and exercising can actually benefit your mental state?
Oh, it reduces depression, reduces anxiety. It reduces anger.
Seems like we should be prescribing this across the nation, right?
It's literally so good for your brain, just like to touch a tiny bit on the scientific aspect.
Yeah.
When there I was in my master's program, like, I got so excited when I saw how strength training is just so good for your brain. And I was just like, oh my gosh, it's like the fountain of youth, literally.
Literally.
And what people don't understand too is like, oh, like it increases. So like, obviously it can decrease like depression. It can increase like happy feelings, like this and that, but that's not just in the gym. Like, people don't understand. Like, it doesn't just create focus in the gym. It doesn't create like alertness in the gym. No, it crosses over into daily life. So why not spend the 45 minutes, half hour to exercise?
Literally.
That's a podcast with himself, because I'm going to get fired up.
if you guys can't see him right now, but he's using a lot of hands.
A lot of hands.
But yeah,
I don't have hair to pull out.
And we all can relate to this, and I know we say it, but like, and I know people that may not be using it or might be having daily stress, and they don't know how to, you know, they want to get their stress under control. Hey, listen, adapt a 30-minute-a-day program 3 to 4 days a week, and just let it happen, and I promise you, you will see a change in your mentality, your mindset, the way you sleep, everything else. It sounds like, you know, oh, they're obsessed with the gym. Like, we're obsessed for, because it helps us with our daily life. It makes us everything.
It's our routine, a part of our habit.
Yeah.
It's weird to say that, like, you know, if we see somebody going to the gym 3 to 4 days a week, oh, they're obsessed with the gym or obsessed with their health. But if we see somebody at the bar every weekend, they're just having a good time.
Yeah. I mean, too, and also,
I've been there.
We also, and you can also say, too, just to back up a lot of people that are listening and have said those things in the past. Listen, we've all seen that people that start going to the gym, and all of a sudden, all they talk about, all they do, they are the gym. Mm-hmm. That, again, there's some evolution to that as well, because when you first go to the gym, you only want to talk about the gym. The gym is life.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
And then you learn later on in life, when you get a little more mature, and you realize, okay, like, I have a great life, and the gym is just a huge part of it. But it's a small section of time of my day that I spend to make sure everything else is, you know, all my ducks in a row outside of this, whether it be family, work, whatever.
You got to make it work too. Like,
yeah,
I've realized I'm here 12 hours a day. I do not want to work out at 5 p.m.
No.
I mean, it won't happen. Like, I make excuses at that time. So I started coming in the morning. It starts my day off. I feel great. You know, and I don't want to go into too many details about that, because, again, that's another podcast for itself.
Yeah.
But, like, I really do like what you said about, like, training angry and how it's kind of adapted into, like, more of a focus. Like, okay, if I'm angry, I'm definitely going to the gym today, because I need to release this kind of, like, energy that I have. But, like, when I go up to the bar, I'm going to be focused. I see a lot of misused energy on social media.
Yeah.
Videos on social media. Sometimes in here, it's like, okay, like, I know for a fact I do not train while angry. I've tried to do the same thing. I've tried to piss myself off before I go into a lift. Like, oh, yeah, let's go. But then after the lift, I'm pissed off for the rest of the day. I'm sad because this person wronged me, and I had to remind myself to it. I don't work out well that way. I actually, me and Adam, again, like my training partner, we have a very light and comedic We're laughing through our workouts. Like, we're laughing. We're having a good time. We see something, or we have a stupid idea because we do these all these stupid drop sets and stuff. Yeah. And we see something, we're like, wow, that looks really dumb. Great. Let's do it.
Let's murder ourselves.
Yeah. And, like, even on the tough sets, like, we definitely motivate each other. Like, we're, like, yelling at each other when we're, like, deadlifting or something. Like, get it up. Let's go. You got this. One more. But, like, after it, we kind of, like, let out a sigh and look at each other and be like, well, that was hard. Yeah. And we kind of laugh, and it's like, that worked for me.
Having a training partner knows where your rep, where your thresholds are, and they're watching your rep tempos. Because we can go back on a video and say, oh, that felt really heavy. But you're watching your rep tempo on your video, like, ah, man, it looked pretty good.
Yeah.
You know, and you have that person like, no, you got three more in you, and you're going to do three. And you have someone holding you accountable to get a little bit more. Mm-hmm. And getting an actual workout there, and an extra three reps is a huge deal, right? So I always enjoy training with a partner. Now I tend to train alone depending on what we're doing. But I will go back and say training angry or going into a set angry, depending on what that movement is, frankly, never. There's really no movement I go in there with anger. Think about it, because I will miss all cues, especially if you're squatting, benching, deadlifting. Those three huge compound movements that could wreak havoc on your body could be catastrophic if you are not focusing on what you're doing. Oh, I'm pissed off. My girlfriend broke on me, so I'm going to go, you know, squat as heavy as I possibly can. I'm going to abuse myself. I strongly recommend not just kind of getting yourself under control first, because then you're going to lose breath, you're going to lose breathing, you're going to, you know, your hips might be out of place. That's a recipe for
disaster.
And here's
the thing, too. Like, let's go in, like, I mean, your brain's always listening to you. I mean, if you're saying, like, oh, like, you know, you should have been better, or, like, you know, or she did this and that, like, you're just creating a really negative feedback loop, in my opinion.
Yeah, let me piggyback on that. Like, I know personally, just from being, like, a collegiate athlete and having to do intense strength training and conditioning to throw at the collegiate level, I am a very angry person. Most people wouldn't know.
You are?
I get very angry very easy. I have a short temper. And anytime I tried to utilize that, everything went out the window. Just like Brian was saying, all those cues, all those techniques, you're bracing, like, my gosh, like, we would quarter squat 600 pounds. Like, that's terrifying. And just imagine, like, I know for a fact if I would have been thinking about, like, my ex at the time or whatever, oh, my gosh, I would have been hurt. It was the same way for sports performance when I was throwing. Like, I couldn't get angry, because if I did, I was going to mess up the technique with the throw. But I can totally see the viewpoint where you can utilize that anger to focus.
Harness
that maturity.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, that maturity. Knowing how to do the techniques and all of that. Being able to harness that anger, use that tunnel vision, boom. Maybe you just maxed out.
Yeah.
But not everybody has that maturity level.
Yeah.
And not everybody knows how to use it properly. Like,
it's just routine. Yeah. It's routine. If you do this long enough, because I noticed, like, when I said deadlift, I was thinking, I feel like my mind was thinking so many things when I first started my first 1 or 2 years of you know, routinely deadlifting. I was thinking, like,
checklist.
What if, you know, it's going through my head. Now at this point, if you ever watch me deadlift, I don't know I'm consciously doing this, because I sit in the back of the platform and I will stare straight. And I see this now, I'm in videos, like, man, and I'm thinking to myself, like, what's going on? And then I say, I'm replaying what was going through my head.
Yeah.
I start thinking about something, okay, that gets me one, okay, deep breath. And when once I step on the platform, I have, like, an out-of-body experience. I don't really remember anything until, like, I'm starting to stand up. It's just a routine. I've done it for so long.
Yeah.
It's just step one, step two, grab the bar, brace, and I'm going up.
That's that sports psychology for all of you out there that don't know. Visualizing.
I am visualizing,
and
what
he has
I'm going
to
do. That's
down to a freaking
T. That's it. It's just like basketball. When we played basketball, I played for many years. I played so much basketball that I didn't really want to play ever again. Let me play that. Love you, Dan. Sorry if you're listening to this. But it was the same thing for foul shots. It was a routine. You dribble, spin, dribble. I did the same thing every single time. It was just so routine, because we did that for hours on end. So when you got up there, it was the same process.
Yeah, the research realize shows too, that like, that's so good.
Yeah, people don't realize. I mean, like surgeons do it. Like all these like people that are like about to go into something super important. Like, yeah, they do it. They have their routine. They wake up. They like or like. I've even seen like some like studies on surgeons where they like wash their hands a certain way. Like, I mean, just little things that are just routine. Okay, I'm like, I mean, for a heart surgeon, they have a lot of stress, so they have to chill out a little bit, right? Yeah. And making it more routine. And that's what, like, I mean, essentially coming to the gym will do. If it's more routine, you're not going to be nervous or it's not out of your day or like whatever.
You're in the zone.
Yeah.
It's literal the zone. Like when people talk about, I'm in the zone. When you know you're in the zone, I mean, it's kind of scary. Awesome. It's kind of scary what you're capable of when you're locked.
I get so freaking excited when I'm in the zone.
It's great. Oh. Isn't it amazing? Because we'll play music, and we're going to talk about music as a motivating factor here in a second. This is a great segue to go into it, because I'll play music, and I listen to a certain amount, and I can't wait to ask you guys what you guys listen to when you're left. I know Tori's not here to ask us, but I'll tell you what I generally listen to. There'll be music playing loud. Mm-hmm. There's certain music. But again, once I step on that platform, I don't hear anything. The only thing the music's good there for is maybe the video after, like, oh, that music was pretty cool to that.
Yeah. Because
I didn't hear a thing. I don't hear a thing. And so, like, again, it's just it's a cool experience when you're truly in the zone. It's just
absolutely.
You black out, so.
Yeah, music is a
big... You listen to music in the morning with...
With Adam? No, we typically motivate, like, ourselves.
House music.
Yeah. I don't even really hear that. We did hear it today because they're playing some jams in the morning.
Oh, yeah, it
was a good mix today.
I like to say UEF has the best selection of music.
Oh my gosh,
for any gym in the area.
Yeah,
I love when you guys play Nickelback.
Self-proclaimed
Nickelback.
I love Nickelback.
Yeah, like
I was just having this conversation. Huge Nickelback fan. In fact, I'm going to plug this right now because the guests are coming to tour in this area. So,
oh, shit.
This summer.
Let's get them on the podcast.
Chad, come here, please.
I made a Nickelback.
Yeah, we don't really listen to music too much. America. Although, if...
Sorry. We have to edit that
love
out.
Love it.
No, that's okay. this is what makes it. I would have to say if I was going for a max... I would probably listen to music. I like something with a big drop. That's just me. Like
the big booty mixes.
Yeah,
the
big booty. Yeah, what do you listen? What is it? What is the band? What's the song? What's the artist? Who are you gonna listen to?
To be honest, what was his name? Go to Sam. I got to pull him up. I can't remember his name.
So, me.
He's the one I pulled 515.
Dude, are you a music person when you have to list?
Oh my gosh, music is literally like. Oh, like I can't tell you how good music just makes me feel. Even when I'm like not exercising, I swear, like I can just feel like every fiber of my being and like my hair is like standing up. Mm-hmm. It's, I don't know. It just like touches my soul.
Oh,
almost.
I got a good
like I love to
this.
Sing and I'm an awful dancer. But if you ever come to the boot camp class, you will see my wonderful, awful dance
it.
Moves.
I've seen it.
And I like to sing too. But yes, so
you do sing in boot camp too.
I do sing.
What kind of music is going to be, Sam?
We listen to Big Booty Mixes from SoundCloud. Okay. They're also on Spotify.
Gotcha. Two friends, yeah.
But I also we listen to like Bruno Mars, Katy Perry's, and you know that's what my son loves. So
love it.
Gotta know every single word to all of their songs. But me, personally, like when I'm lifting, I'm such a hardcore like. Rock fan, alternative rock, metal, like all of that. I love it so much ever since middle school. Like, but I can tell you a song right now that's just like in my head, Miracle by A Day to Remember.
That's a good one.
It hits so good and it gets me so hyped. Like, oh my gosh, when
there's always that one song.
Yeah, like literally the only reason I like cardio is because of music. Like, yep. Oh my gosh. Like if that song plays, I want to sprint. Like I literally just want to just do a sprint.
I actually do want to talk about cardio in a second, but
I also love Issues.
What's your,
the funny thing that I was going to say,
love that band.
a weird hot take and I'm a weirdo, but, or either that or like a psychopath. Cause I love music. Like, don't get me wrong, but like, I'm like one of those people that can like sit in complete silence
Man.
All day.
That's weird.
Sometimes
my brain is talking way too much for that.
I will turn off the radio on my car, like in the car. Like I once drove to Syracuse with nothing on.
Yeah.
No podcast, nothing. Can't just imagine. Me. And those are great. Those are great ride. You learn a lot about yourself. There's been a lot of soul searching for me in the past.
On a motorcycle, I can see no big deal. I don't need to have headphones in.
Nope.
That's nice.
Yeah.
That's a therapeutic approach, but.
But one of my, the song that I would probably put on if I had a max was the same thing I maxed out to, just to kind of like, was Joyner Lucas, ADHD. That intro is like.
I have to listen to that. I don't know if I've heard it. I probably heard it.
It's on in the gym, but it's a good one.
You added that?
What's that?
Did you add that?
I don't think I did.
No?
I think you added it because you were like, this is dope. Maybe. But yeah, my cardio selection is a lot different. I actually go on to like a high intensity, like bass drops.
Yeah.
I need something like if I'm going to be doing cardio, because I see it all day. I'm up at the front desk for a long time, which is right in front of our cardio section. And I do see some people tend to mosey around on the cardio and like, it's like, okay, are you just moving your legs or are you actually like training your heart? Yep. So I think that like, especially with cardio, like that stimulus, we added the TVs. So we got the TVs there. But I think that you really need to find something with like your cardio selection music.
Cardio is different for me. Like when I'm lifting weights, I could be, and it depends, like deadlift squats, I'm listening to like Lamb of God or Meshuggah, something really heavy. And then some days I'm listening to Mike Dimes. Like I'm just all over the place.
Yeah.
And then sometimes around Christmas, I probably listen to Pentatonix Christmas music.
There it is.
Oh my gosh.
Bo, I'm listening to Pentatonix. Christmas, you know what? Music. Like, and then on Thursdays, if you catch me in the gym on Thursdays, I'm listening to 90s throwbacks.
Because
it's Throwback Thursday and I hold true to that.
I love it.
So. I'll listen, Motley Crue comes on. I'll listen to some big, Biggie Smalls is going to be on there. I listen to that. I can get motivated to that. But cardio is definitely more upbeat.
Yeah.
I might be rocking a Katy Perry on a cardio.
No,
day,
I love me some Katy Perry.
If it's got like a high, like there's a few playlists that I are my go-tos for cardio specifically, because when you're on cardio, I've seen a lot of people like on their phones and like, that's cool. Like whatever. Some people watch shows, which is a great,
I
like
love to do that.
That's great.
Although
that's great.
Big Bang Theory currently.
I got that one from Alyssa. She's doing cardio for her preps and stuff like that. And she would put on something that got her heart rate up. And I was like, that's a great idea.
That's
a great idea.
It's a great idea until you're focusing more on the show and less on the, like, you got to keep that.
Depends on the kind of form of cardio you're doing. I agree.
Yeah.
If your miss turns into a list because you're starting to walk because you can't see the screen, you're glued to it.
Yeah.
I program Mets now.
You're leaning over the cardio, the stepper.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah.
You're holding
draping
yourself
draping over it.
Yeah. God, geez. Get off it.
I actually.
I put a little electric fence around there.
Oh, no.
I program Mets now. I want to make sure that my clients are moving. So I'll actually program a Met level that have to stay within. No hands.
I'll just do a stepper. No hands, please.
Let's add the 40-pound vest.
Oh, yeah.
A little thumb tuck on the vest.
That's it. So we got a lot of like good external. The music, I would say external, anger, internal. What do we feel about some supplemental external factors? Do you think you should roll off on 800 milligrams caffeine?
So I hate to bring this up too, because I just started taking a supplement from Onnit called Shroomtech.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Onnit's supposed to be performance enhancing. Like, it's all natural stuff, and it's...
Yeah, it's got, like, reishi.
I've been taking about a week and a half, okay? And the biggest thing I've run into is it's expensive, and you have a 14-day supply of it.
Yeah, it is.
So right off the bat, I'm not necessarily thrilled about that. But what I can say is I've noticed a big difference in the endurance that I have for higher rep sets.
Mm-hmm.
Strength output, I have not noticed a big difference there. But I have noticed that my ability to go in the higher rep ranges for multiple sets with the same weight has been better. Now, caveat to all that, I'm just getting back into strict routine training. So I don't know if that's just more of an adaptive response or if it's a supplement. Chances are I'm probably not going to continue to take it.
Yeah.
I got it on a deal. Yeah. I don't see myself, and I'm looking at, okay, I'm looking at maybe $120 a month to be able to maintain this supplement. I'm like, I'm all set. Like, that's relatively expensive for me. But from a caffeine standpoint, I am a huge, I will absolutely support caffeine use.
Absolutely.
Pre-training within reason.
Yeah.
I personally, I'm drinking an iced coffee now. I have one of those pretty much every morning, or I'll make my own myself my own coffee, which is probably 100 and 150 milligrams of caffeine for the morning. And I like to train around 1 or 5 p.m., which I will consume roughly 200 milligrams of caffeine. And then if I need to, if I notice I'm not getting much of a response from it, I'll just take the two-week protocol, no caffeine for 2 weeks, nothing at all. And then I'll come back and I'll start slower. And I'll maybe I'll, you know, have a little less coffee in the morning. Maybe I'll go to a small, you know. And then I'll do the caffeine. You know, I usually do like a 3D. I'm not a big pre-workout fan. Mm-hmm. I know they're great, but I feel like, I've always stuck to just a Bang 3D or.
Sam, do you supplement with
pre-workout? I love this.
I get the question all the time from every. What's
I think it's
the
such
next
a great question.
Big thing. What's the best pre-workout?
So me personally, I love Brian's point about how he's talking about strict routine. Because obviously supplementation is what it is, a supplement
I'm going to cut you. I don't mean to cut you off.
No, you're fine.
But for our listeners, if you are not on a like avid routine and you haven't paid attention to your nutrition and your sleep and you ask me what the best supplement for you to take is, I'm going to tell you to get
proper diet.
Facts. I literally exactly what Kevin said.
Yeah, proper
that's
diet.
That's where I was. You gotta,
like, for my supplements right now consist of creatine, a multivitamin, and I take a nootropic in the morning, and I also have that StreamTech thing, which is I got like three or 4 days left on it, and I could continue to take that, and then caffeine, and then I will say with going on a pre workout thing too. I'm not a big proponent of pre-workouts unless they're needed and depending on what you're trying to accomplish.
Sure.
Especially like my athletes that are in fat loss phases. Like I was like, why don't you hold off until you get to that point where I'm starting to like feel like crap because I'm dieting for so long. Like then we'll add that in.
Yeah.
Right. Like, then it's a little definitely bit of boost, a booster. You know, maybe get your metabolism up a little bit more. Absolutely. Just, you know, whatever.
But. So Sam, are you,
absolutely.
I hated the cut off, but
you guys are completely fine. I like it. I am definitely a pro caffeine
user. I'm a pro caffeine user. I take 5,000 a day.
How many people are like, do I have to stop drinking coffee?
I have.
No.
I would never tell anybody, like, if you like coffee, drink your coffee, dude. Coffee's good for you. There's so many benefits. Obviously, I'm not telling you to run to Dunkin' or Starbucks and get a pumpkin spice latte. They're good. But like, imagine that sugar, all that extra added crap. That's a no-no.
And you'll be surprised at how many people don't even look at that stuff.
Yeah. So
I drink black coffee. I personally,
my hubby Adam, he bought me a Nespresso machine. Thing is fancy.
Oh, yeah.
That's
beautiful.
Oh, my gosh. Oh, yeah. The other night, Kevin got to have some.
Yeah. Yeah,
it is
good.
Literally.
Is it one with the pods?
Yes. It is so good. Too. Like, I am not even a fan of Keurigs anymore just because, like, the taste is just, like, it's elevated.
It's very good.
But, yes, like, I believe that if you need it, I don't know if you actually need it. Mm-hmm. You got to think about it like that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like me personally, I raw dog that shit, man. Like I do not need it. Like I'm still going to have my coffee every single morning. But like when it comes to going and exercising, I have that intrinsic motivation. So I personally don't necessarily feel that I quote unquote need to take a pre-workout or even like a pump. But anytime that I do, I can kind of tell a difference. I personally don't like my face is itching and I want to scratch
beta
it off.
Beta itch.
I don't like that. Yeah. But I love beetroot powder.
Great. Beetroot powder.
I, I swear by that's that shit, man. Like, that's eat your beets.
That's for nitric oxide.
Yeah, like. Yeah.
It actually has a good lower blood pressure.
Like.
Without exercise.
If you want to, like, have better endurance, I swear if you just, like, eat some fucking beets or.
Yeah. They make powders and stuff, too.
Yes. You know, like.
Beetroot has a lot of good research coming on about it. It's one of my favorite newer.
Love it.
I can't even say newer because it's been around for
a while.
Yeah.
I've seen a lot more people using it over the last 2 or 3 years, I would say.
Absolutely.
Yeah. In their pre-workouts or whatever. But I agree with that. I agree with that supplementation. I don't necessarily need to take caffeine pre-workout. I think I should have put that in context.
Oh, no, like, you're good.
Big heavy lifts, I usually use caffeine because there is definitely a correlation with sports performance and caffeine.
Yeah.
But if I'm going to come in here for like an accessory day, I'm not going to waste caffeine on it, especially if I'm training in the evening. Like, I don't need to be jacked up.
Absolutely. I also kind of have this viewpoint that people who are neurodivergent, caffeine doesn't always affect their brain the same mm-hmm. as a neurotypical brain. So, like, me personally, I don't know how caffeine really affects me because, like, I can drink caffeine and go to sleep. I don't necessarily feel hyped up from it, but absolutely, if I take pre-workout, I am hype, I am ready, and I'm sure it's the beta-alanine itchy feeling going. But me personally, the only, like, tried and true supplement I like is my medical cannabis. Yeah. I promise you there.
Absolutely.
Like, it's legal now, so I can say
it's medical.
This.
Come on. It's medical.
And I also have a medical card. But, I don't smoke it, though. I take the chewable pills or whatever.
It's actually coming out that's way healthier, by the way. Anything you smoke is...
Your liver metabolizes it, so it's totally different. And I promise, man, your blood vessels dilate, and that pump is real.
That's interesting.
But it all depends, though, because it affects everybody differently. Like, the pills like that, they're a hybrid, so they have indica and sativa. And everybody is affected differently. Like, it could relax you or it could hype you up. But obviously, you should probably talk to a doctor before you use it.
Little disclaimer.
Yes.
Yeah. You know, To be honest, I know you guys say, like, when you need it or what, I supplement with caffeine every workout because I've started dosing it. I have bought caffeine anhydrous pills, 200 milligrams.
Yep.
And I dose it because there is a dosage for caffeine, which most people don't know. There is a dosage for it, and I think it's like 3 to... Actually, I'm not even going to say it, so that way you guys don't take my word for it.
Isn't it like based off your body weight?
There was a research that came out because caffeine was like, okay, what is the ergogenic effect of caffeine? Okay, what do you get from this?
Exactly. Yeah. So that is what I'm looking for. I'm looking for the ergogenic effect. And I believe, do not try this out before you talk to a medical professional, I believe it is 3 to 6 milligrams per kilogram.
Of
body weight. So I am currently, I believe, 110 or more kilograms. So
talking kilograms, she said 220. Just make it easy.
It's about like one. It's like, I'm not 220. I'm a little bit higher. But... So, like, when I take my 400 milligrams, like, people, like, when I tell that to people, like, oh, my God, you must be wired. But I walk into the gym, I take it about a half hour before I get here, and I take it, and I am focused and calm. And that's where, like, you know, me and Adam, actually has to hype me up sometimes. So, like, for me, the caffeine, I'm looking for the analgesic effect. I'm looking for the kind of, like, focus effect, like, not... I don't need to get hyped and crazy and jump off the walls. I've been there, done that. Caffeine for me is one of those things that I'm looking for mainly internal types of responses.
It's a tool. You use it.
Yeah. It's a tool. Yeah. And going back on what Sam said, so she doesn't need it. And if you need it, you probably don't need it.
Right.
And that goes back to a full, complete analysis and an overview of what your lifestyle looks like. Okay. How do I sleep?
Mm-hmm.
Do I have good sleep hygiene? Do I have proper nutrition?
Right.
Am I well hydrated? If you can mark those three boxes alone, you may not necessarily need caffeine all the time. You know, and you know what type of lifter are you? An elite level lifter? Then you supplement that caffeine in there. And it just takes you a little bit more.
Yeah.
But if you're there for the first few months and you're just taking the creatine because, or the, oh, excuse me, creatine. Well, I guess it was creatine most pre-workouts. If you're just taking the pre-workouts because you were sold on, you know, supplement because you've seen on social media, and we, and a lot of people get sold on these things because their favorite influencer uses it, whatever. I understand that, but just know that you may not need it. And if you could cross the other, sure, you know, check those other simple boxes that you should be doing anyways, chances are those three are going to get you to your end goal a lot sooner. And yeah, with a lot less money than just going to use a supplement, because that's, yeah, that's what, and I need to do.
Yeah, I would like to like clarify. Like, I'm definitely not taking the creatine. I did it too. you ruined me.
It's in there to make the claims. Creatine's there just to make those huge claims.
Yeah. The most dangerous. No. But I am not taking caffeine because I think I need it. I just like the fact that I am like dosing it for the ergogenic effect. I don't necessarily need it because, again, I walk into the gym and I've actually been waking myself up and said, hey, this is what I do. Let's do this. And I work out at 5:30 in the morning.
Well, he tells himself he's a badass motherfucker every morning.
5:45. I go in.
This is affirmation of the day.
Yeah, I'm lifting 405. I'm lifting four, like I'm deadlifting and benching before you even take your morning piss. What?
Yeah, you know what? That's another motivating factor. Like, hey, I'm getting up, and it, you know what? On top of that, too, going back on just your lifestyle, what you do for a living, everything else, that sets an example. That's an example for your clients. Like, yeah, I don't have time. Like, you know what? You make it.
Yeah,
you make it. We all have 24 hours a day, and I'll tell you right now, I've had people, and I can understand because I have two children. You know, and I'm a single father, right? Mm-hmm. And I understand they got to be here for sports and athletes. They got to school. And
sure,
I work 2 24-hour shifts at the top of the day. I run 2 businesses. I understand busy, mm-hmm, okay? But I adapt to that. And I don't make excuses for myself because I caught my ass doing that.
Yeah.
And I'll tell you what, I had to call myself out on it. It was an uncomfortable conversation to have myself. But, hey, I'm going to make the time. And you know what? Making the time was, you know, not being an asshole sitting, you know, staying up till 2 o'clock in the morning because I got caught on Instagram reels or I'm on TikTok and all this other nonsense. No, I'm shutting it off. I'm reading a book before I go to bed and I'm turning the lamp off and all my lights off and I'm going to sleep. I'm taking care of myself. So I'm going to wake up. I'm going to drink a liter of water. I'm going to start my day.
Absolutely. Okay.
I added time on the shoulder end. Okay. Mm-hmm. I get up earlier and I go to bed at a reasonable time. I take care. I start checking the box on the small things that you can't control. I also, it took me 35 years to learn that. But
yes.
I had a friend one time say, like, well, of course you're Jack. You work in the gym. You're in the gym all day. I go, are you out of your mind? Do you think I want to be here? I'm in the same four walls for 10 hours a day. I love my job. I love being here. It's not just because my boss is here, but, but I love being here. I love what I do. But if you think for a second that after being here for 10 hours,
it's hard,
like working with people and improving their lives and making decisions for them on whether to or not to like go harder, like you think I want to do that after? No, I have to do it before.
You shoulder a lot of motion. I believe we talked about this too when you first started. I'm like, and you're starting to get busy. And I'm like, hey, Kev, just so you know, like I did the personal training thing. I had my online business going too. Then I opened the gym and I was here and I was like, and I was here 60-70 hours a week, and I'm like, oh, trying to find my own motivation to train. That's why I knew I was like, I need to like start stepping back and like
the fitness industry has the highest rate of burnout.
Yeah.
Like most personal trainers within 5 years are not personal trainers anymore.
Yeah. Because you're shouldering a lot of people's stuff too. You know, and obviously we still keep a strict boundary between our conversations with people, but you know, it's hard to get ourselves motivated after shouldering so many different things and then being busy.
I actually told a client this morning, I was like, it's pretty difficult in this field because like when a client comes in and they're seeing me because they have all this going on in their life and they want to improve their life and their life, they have this, they have somebody died, this and that, my shit goes out the window. Like I have to like, and again, not just me, but like personal trainers, like, you have to be that motivating factor of like, hey, look, like, let's crush this workout. But then after that, you're like, man, my life kind of sucks too sometimes.
It's hard. Well, it allows you because you're going to, you practice what you preach.
For sure.
And sometimes we all need a little bit of a reevaluation and maybe someone to put something in perspective for us. Mm-hmm. I'm going to give a couple final thoughts here. We can wrap up here. Okay, I'll give you my final thoughts. You guys want to add something to it or got something to say to your clients are listening or new people are interested in maybe chatting with you about experiencing your services. But I would like to put out there because I do work with quite a few competitive athletes that do bodybuilding, bikini, figure, men's physique, everything else. Those people generally have, the best athletes generally have both internal and external driving factors. One, you have the external factor of I have a goal. I want to look a certain way on a certain date. And they have the intrinsic motivation of, okay, I am here to become my best version. And their motivation just comes internally because that their will, their burning desire to become their best version, that's them. From a health standpoint, from, you know, maybe even a visual thing, that could be a little more external. But those generally make the best athletes, because I will see people burn themselves out in the physique realm because they are strictly motivated by what they look like externally. They don't have the intrinsic drive. So they need to look a certain way at a date, and they turn the volume up as they're approaching a show. They have to be in prep in order to keep their ass accountable. And they may be coming to the gym routinely because that's part of their life, but they're really not doing anything outside of the gym to help themselves. They're maybe their diet's off, their sleep's off, they're doing things they wouldn't normally do. That being said, I'm not saying you have to be locked in, laser focused 24 hours a day. I'm saying the best athletes generally have a good balance between lifestyle and their goals as a competitive athlete. So going into these things, if you are just signing up for so you can keep yourself on track, I would say maybe you should reevaluate the situation, get yourself, you know, adherent to something in a routine that's healthy prior, that's intrinsically motivating you to do so.
Yeah, in terms of like shows like and whatnot, like, I mean, my opinion on it is like you shouldn't even think about doing a show until you've spent like a year or two in the gym making that routine. Like, because here it is, like, It's a tough road. Absolutely.
I'd say the prep itself may seem difficult because you are essentially starving yourself to a point, and you're pushing yourself beyond a limit where your body wants to be. It's the after show. Which just people struggle with, and there's a lot of psychological issues that people run into with adherence and then body image, and it can be difficult. It's challenging. You really have to be comfortable with all aspects of training and diet.
Yeah, absolutely. You really have to be in a good mental state.
Yeah, I mean, place. I struggled afterwards. Not as bad. I mean, I'm the heaviest I've ever been now, and I want to do another show, not because it's something to keep me on track, but, like, I just want to see how much muscle I put on. Yeah, you know, absolutely. That's what I want to do.
Peel back those layers.
Yeah, absolutely. I want to get my feathered quads back eventually. Oh, yeah. So
you don't want juicy quads. You want feathered quads. Yeah,
trust me, I got enough. I got enough in my thighs right now, all right? But I agree. I think that the intrinsic, you really need to shut off the outside. And if you're doing something, and I think if you're doing anything, whether it's like, oh, I have to do this job because my parents or whatever it is, like, you really need to sit down and you need to look at it yourself and say, hey, look, what do I want? Am I coming to the gym, or seeing it now, am I coming to the gym for the next 12 weeks so I'm going to look good on spring break? Or am I doing this because I want to push for a healthier lifestyle? That's where I really came in. Like, I came into it with my training and my micronutrient intake. Right. Like, I mean, I'm not going to go down that road, but like, macros are great. But like, I was very much neglecting micronutrients. So now that I've added that back into my life, I'm like, wow, I'm having a healthier. I've cut down my drinking a lot. Because I don't want to feel like shit every day.
Right. Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? I'm doing that for me. I'm not doing that because I'm going to be called a drunk. I'm going to be called a bunch of things. Mm-hmm. Right. I don't really focus on the external anymore. Now I'm looking at the internal. Why am I doing this? And do I want to feel better throughout?
That maturity.
That's it.
Exactly. That maturity. You know? Exactly.
I'm turning. I'm coming into 30.
Because everyone starts at it for a reason. And if it was to start, okay, you got a kickstart on, I'm going to get ready for spring break. Continuing it afterwards is really, like, yeah. I really enjoyed the way I felt while I was doing that. And it's, now it becomes like, okay, I did it for a goal. But now I'm intrinsically motivated to continue to better myself.
Yeah, like, short-term goals are great. Like, that 12-week goal to get that body ready for spring break or the summer or whatever. But think about it like this. Spring's always going to come. Summer's always going to come. What you need to do is you need to sit down and you need to figure out why you want to be here. And if that's the only reason,
We got to figure out some other stuff because we need to make this a lifestyle routine.
Be happier around.
Because I promise you, like, once you make this your lifestyle, it won't be like, oh, I got to go to the gym. It'll be like, I get to do this. Mm-hmm. I get to go to the gym.
I'm angry.
I'll
I
be
need to
spring
go
break
gym.
Ready, summer ready, year round.
Exactly.
How about that?
Exactly.
And I want to, like, piggyback off of the lifestyle choice. Mm-hmm. Like, this is lifestyle. And I want to make a very clear distinction that just because this is going to become part of your lifestyle does not mean, as we said before, that you have to be obsessed with it.
Exactly.
You don't have to turn into a gym rat and like, and you have to like put all your meals into containers. You don't have to do everything 100% of the way. But if you can make a little progress towards long-term goals and long-term basically routine, you're in a good spot. And you need to do that for yourself because that's the only one that, that I'm not going to say that matters. But when it comes to your health and your lifestyle, well, it's a lot of it's based on you.
Yes, and let's remember here, so we were talking about training stimulus, and I just want to caveat on this. So anybody who is having issues or they're just confused about their programming, please don't be afraid to come up to us trainers. Like, you can sign up to work with us because guess what? It's our job to make sure we're creating the proper training protocol for you so that your training stimulus is positive and it all works together. That's what we're here for.
And these are not frou-frou training programs. Let me tell you something right now.
Promise
we built
that.
A training department that are full of people that have experience with weight training. So if you think you're getting some spinoff or one-off program that you know, we send every single every other person. No, you're wrong. You're going to get a program that looks at what you're currently doing, especially someone who has experience, looking at volume, looking at frequency, looking at intensity, and we're going to make it better. So if you guys are interested, obviously we have a list of trainers so you can work with. Check out our Instagram page. You can hop on our website, fill out a form, upsandparfit.com. Check out our Instagram page at upsandparfitness. You guys can also check out Sam's and Kevin's Instagram. We'll leave that in the bio here at the description of the podcast so you guys can click on those links.
There you go.
But anything else, guys? I'm going to wrap it up.
No, I think that if you get into a right state and you want some help, that's what we're here for. We're professionals. I wouldn't take my car. Or I wouldn't work on my car myself because I don't know anything about cars.
You want to get shreddy deady? You want to get those massive quads?
Let's go!
You want to build that back? Come on, dude.
Let's get it.
Hit me up.
Let's
get it. I got
you.
Hey, and also, don't be afraid to come to the boot camp class. Girls aren't the only people that have to come to boot camp. Obviously, I'm a veteran.
I think they're literally afraid to go to boot camp.
Like,
I do.
You shouldn't be afraid. Like, I promise you.
I feel great.
It's going to kick your ass in the best way possible.
I burn, like, close to like 400 to 500 calories and like I'm like push but like I'm also pushing.
You get what you give, people.
That's it.
Go.
You cannot just come in there and go through the what's the
motions.
Phrase? Yeah, you can't just go through the motions, dude. Like if you're gonna be like, okay, I'm just gonna come in here and I'm just gonna like do this and do that. Okay, that's why it didn't work for you. Like I'm there to push you. But guess what? I can't make you do anything. You got to make yourself do it. So
that's it.
And next,
I'll be
on the lookout for
I'll
an Instagram post
for
me.
There you go.
I'm gonna ruffle some feathers.
Woo woo.
Ooh.
And I'm about to turn 31 on the 3rd. So
you'll be officially in your 30s.
In my 30s. Yeah. So come join us and do the boot camp class.
That's it.
Yep.
Take a look at Instagram. You'll have the boot camp classes listed out there. Thanks again, guys, for joining us on the podcast, Sam. It was a great introduction to the podcast. She'll be back on,
people. I love it. Thank you.
Kev, thanks again, as always. And thanks for listening.